used to tuckle.
Tuckle, tuckle. I used to think that when you got old, life would become simpler. But it's not true. So don't count on it. It used to be that I knew exactly where I was on a Sunday morning. If the faces were brown and I was out of town, it was a Maori context. And if I was in a church here, it'd be nearly everybody would be white. So you spoke Maori in one context and you thought Maori. And when you came to this kind of a situation, you'd think English. Is it not quite right?
Just put this on it. Is it going to get in the way? Is it getting in the way?
Yep. Pull down.
Sorry?
Better? All right. So now we've sung songs in Maori, and I'm going to be talking on a Maori topic, the matter of something called pepeha, which is a personal saying. And so I'm kind of confused here. I'll be talking some Maori and mostly English, but some Maori. And I think of different things. For example, I read before I came here the Chapel Hill book for 1911. How long is that? 8 years? 2011? Yeah, 2011. Okay. Thank you. That's... And I was amazed at the number of people who've gone home to be with God in that time. And if this was a Maori context, I would want to mihi those people, but I'm not going to do it. I just note with love all the people that were part of this congregation and are now part of a much greater assembly. I also came into my mind this morning as I come back to this place, which is kind of, in a very special way, my place, since I never really left here, to think of my hero, the second Maori king. His name was Tafiao. Tafiao left the Waikato for exile in the king country in Taranaki when General Cameron arrived with his gunboats and proceeded to drive out the Maori owners of this land, Ngāti Wairere, around here, Ngāti Haua, out to the south and east, Ngāti Mahuta, Ngāti Mahunga, on this other side of the river. And when Tafiao came back from a land that had been abundant to a land where his people were marginalised, had no gardens, where the forests were diminishing, this is what he said. Ka hoki ake nei au ki te reo o Waikato. Ko aku kai I te ao I te pō, he roi mata. He said, I am going back to the great valley of the Waikato, and my food day and night will be tears. And I am delighted, thrilled, that this time that I've lived long enough to see a harmonising, a coming together of Maori and Pākehā, and it's particularly obvious in our city. All sorts of people who I never thought would be speaking Maori are speaking it. Our family has a class every Thursday afternoon. A wife, two granddaughters, two daughters and two granddaughters, five of us. They've all done Maori courses, and we come on a Thursday afternoon to make sure we're not losing it. Unthinkable things like that. My great-grandchildren count perfectly in Maori. Tahirua, Torufa, they've got it all. and the colours, and if I make a mistake, granddad. It's not where, it's fair. So those things are changing. So here I am in here to talk with you about Pepeha. Does anybody know what it is? Oh, come on. Which of you knows what it is? Janie. What would you say it is? Okay. It is a kind of visiting card. It's a way of saying who you are, where you came from, where you're going, and who you're related to. In my other church, and also in my previous church, which was Hillcrest Chapel, we talk about doing these Maori-related things. Over at Northgate, we have just now begun to be positively bicultural, which means that in every service, there'll be a Maori component. Not everybody loves the idea. Nobody's bitterly against us. They just don't. They just wish we weren't doing it. All right. And some of them are particularly worried, troubled, in a very nice way, when we take on a Maori cultural feature and make it part of the life of the church. And learning to have a pepeha is one of those things. So not everybody jumps for joy at the idea of doing that. Now, I don't know what it's like here. You're much more liberal and flexible, no doubt. But though this is not about pepeha exactly, this is about something that is profoundly important to me. This is from Acts chapter 17. And I'll put that slide up. Okay. This amazing passage. This ought to be in everybody's heart and mind when they're thinking of the peoples of the world and all the cultures of the world and the mixing that's going on in our land. From one man, God created all races of mankind. We are all related in a profound way and made them live throughout the whole earth. He himself fixed beforehand the exact times and limits of the places where they would live. Doing this for a purpose. Doing this so that they would look for him and perhaps find him as they felt around for him. The word, this word, whāwhā, for feeling around, is a word from the dark. So all the peoples of the world, God knows about them. God is close to where they are, even when they're feeling round in the dark. And lots of people in New Zealand, I thought of the poem this morning, are in that darkness. They're groping round and they haven't found it yet. They feel around for him, and yet this amazing verse, yet he is actually not far from any of us. Not from us, not just us true blue believers, from any of these people that God created, in all their places, in all their lands, in all their times, in their seasons, he is actually not far from any of us. I won't read the Maori part totally, but across the bottom line, that begins, he ahakoa, that means however, or nevertheless, he ahakoa. Ka hore ia I matarātu I a tātou katoa. Yet he is actually not far from any of us. So my talk about Pepeha is closely related to this great statement from the King of Kings. Because Pepeha is a way of saying where you're from and to some extent where you're going and how you relate. That's a Pepeha is a mixture. In one sense, it's a mixture of a proverb. Quite often a proverb will become part of somebody's greeting card. Sometimes like an ID. Who are you actually? And you pull it out, and this is what the Pepeha does. This is who I am. Or it's a business card. I'm doing business here. I've got something to sell. It's partly genealogy, telling whoever listens where they come from, who their parents were. O rātou tūpuna, tuku iho, from back from the canoe. It's a way of saying where they come from. Place of origin. It's a landmark. It's tied to places in the land. Get the idea? Just this. Now, it's hard to get all that in one thing, so it's not always done, but it's hinted at. Now, if we look at the next screen, I have put here two famous Pepeha. The first one, Waikato Taniwharau. He piko he taniwha. He piko he taniwha. A taniwha is a spirit being that appears at times and disappears at times in the rivers and the lakes and so on. But it also means a chief. So when you talk about Waikato Taniwharau, it's Waikato of the many chiefs. It's talking about the river. And it goes on to say, he piko. A piko is a bend in the river. Understand? The river between the sea and Hamilton and all its curves and whatever you call those things, inserts, inlets, and so on. There is a chief at every bend. Before the Pākehā came, virtually every bend in the Waikato from here to the sea had a garden, a house to meet in, had a community of people. And that's why the saying, there was a chief at every bend. There were 15 of them within our city. The remnants of a dozen are still there. The second one, here on the screen.
That didn't mean a spirit on every bend.
This Taniwha?
Just meant
many chiefs. Taniwha Rau. Rau means 100, but or any large number. Right. So the wise person knows when to understand which sense of Taniwha. If someone calls you a Taniwha, you don't know quite what they mean. But the second one is famous. I taught it to Ian Foster this last week because he's going over to the East Coast with a rugby team, and they're going to the top of Hikurangi, which is the first place in New Zealand to feel the kiss of the sun. In fact, the first place in the world. This is Hikurangi. Ko Hikurangi te maunga, ko Waiapu te awa, ko Ngāti Porou te iwi. So someone who uses that expression makes it very clear where he's from, who belongs to. Not everybody can use this. It's for those people for whom this is true. You okay? So what do we do? Us people from overseas. And by that I mean us people of English, Northern European descent, and those who've come from the Asian perimeter. How are we going to prepare these things? So what I've done here, by the way, do people have a bit of paper You should have, if you have a little paper or would like a piece, I want to get all of you who can write still with a pencil to prepare your own pepeha, because in today's world you will often find, especially if you're in the teaching system, in business, you'll often find opportunities where it's the right thing to begin your talk is to give your pepeha. So this is my one. Actually, my two. And it begins like this. Ko Northgate, te hapori. Ko te pikitanga te whare hui. Ko ihu kuraiti te ariki nui. Ko kemp ahau. So this tells anybody I'm talking to that Northgate is my community, that our meeting house is Te Pikitanga, that is its name, comes from the Psalms, it means the ascents. Te Piki is to go up the hill, it's the pilgrims going up, and Te Pikitanga is the act of going up. So that's the name of the house.
All right.
The Ariki Nui, this is my central relationship. I have lots of whānau, tamariki, mokopuna, but this upward one is Christ Jesus, my Supreme Lord, and I'm Kemp. This is a wonderful way of witnessing, by the way, to have built into your pepeha when you're being asked to give one. Don't just say who you are and where you live and what size your income is, by implication. It is an opportunity to say what my primary loyalty is. This is where I come from. This is where I'm going. All right, you with me? So as you, this one that you're writing, you may never use it. This is not the final result. But if I could get you writing some things down, you have the beginning of a pepeha that you will use. And in the future, especially in Hamilton, Waikato, Bay of Plenty, King Country, there is this growing together of our cultures where on many occasions you will find yourself hearing both Maori and Pākehā and English. The second one I've got is, it takes me right back to my childhood, and it's one that I did for a school reunion of Hokowhit Primary School in Palmerston North. Ko Wharite te Maunga, ko Manawatū te Awa, ko Hokowhitu te Kura, ko Hau ko Kemp Palestine. Now, I didn't have any Christian support, and this was done some time ago. I'm a better boy now than I was then. But it was impressive. Whadite is the last mountain peak on the Ruahine Range, right above the Manawatū Gorge. That is Whadite. So ko Whadite te Maunga, ko Manawatū te Awa, ko Hokowhitu te Kura. Nā, ko hau ko Kemp Palace. So on your, those of you who are writing, but you don't have to if you don't want to, all right? It's okay to just to listen. But on it, you should have something that says where you belong physically, whether it's your hometown or the creek that you swam in or the beach that you went fishing from. And putting that, by the way, if you do one in a school, you're likely to make it copy the school ones and to say, ko Taupiri toko maunga. Taupiri is that, anybody know where Taupiri is? Okay, the burial place of Tainui royalty and a great many other people. Taupiri, Maungatapu, a sacred mountain. We see it from our lounge window, and on about half the days of the year, there is a plume of cloud rising up from it. Right? So if you're doing that, but it doesn't belong to you, that's not what your pepeha should be, because that's not actually your mountain. Unless it is, of course, your mountain. For some reason, it's important to you. For some of us living here in Hamilton, there is a mountain, and I see it every day, and it delights me. Ko Pirongia. Pirongia. This beautiful mountain that we have out here. Pirongia, which is now getting back its bellbirds. Kōkako. That could be the mountain. Do you have a mountain, by the way? Any hill, mountain, street, physical feature that you sometimes feel, yeah, that makes me good to see that. I belong by this. Anybody? If you don't, time you got one. So if you're going to write a pepeha.
What about a beach too?
A beach?
I was born by the beach.
Tino pai. It's really good. If the beach is it, do you know the name of it?
Yeah.
Does it have a Maori name or a Pākehā name? Oh, it's an Aussie one. Okay, do it. Make that part. This is it. Because one of the things that the pepeha does, when people don't know what you've got there, they will ask questions. People who know the significance of pepeha and who want to know you, they will follow up on that. You know, if it's Mulligatawny or something like that, they'll say, where is that? Whereabouts in New Zealand is that? On it, you should have something that connects you to your primary human connections. So when someone, this East Coaster says, Ko Ngāti Porou Tōku Iwi, Ko Ngāti Porou Tōku Iwi, that tells you that person is a descendant from Taki Tumu, who sailed from Hawaiki to New Zealand, the captain of the boat. But once you've got that bit of information, people can work from that to find out, oh, is that right? You're in Ngāti Porou. Oh, yeah. Which line are you? Whereabouts have you come from? Who was your great-grandfather? And all of a sudden, it happens, by the way, all the time, even in modern world, people start to talk to each other and they discover that they have, this other person is their bone, their iwi. Iwi and bone mean the same. Iwi means a people, also means bone. So you're building up this little bit of information. It's not a lot, but it's the people who want to know, and to the people who already know, this is a bring together. The purpose of pepeha is not to see how well you speak Maori. Yours can be totally in English, but it's to give them information that enables them to visit with you, that their questions are relevant.
I wonder they talk a lot if this is just your introduction.
Well, I've been to 3 birthdays in the last 6 months, all of people over 86, people older than I am, by a bit. And I tell you, the conversation that went on, one of them was on Rukumoana Marae, which is just out of Morrinsville. There were about 250 people there for this old lady. The ones from Australia, who've been living in Australia for 30 years, they came speaking Maori, and they did their own haka for the old lady. And it was a great time. And one by one, people stood up in the house and began to tell all the main lines of this little group. So the pepeha informs, it connects. And in talking to Maori people, it also makes you proud and want to avoid things that would shame the people who are part of this connection. So it's a powerful thing. The pepea is powerful. You don't try and copy the one you get in class. Make your own place, your own people. You might even put there, and I used to be so ashamed of coming from Palmerston North. Not deeply ashamed, but can any good thing come out of Palmerston North? But now, once I learned to have my own pepeha, it took a long time. I didn't think I could do that, but I took one, and it's changed my view of Palmerston North. And one of the things I say about it, this is my last bit of Maori in the talk, I said, kei reira te rua kōiwi, ōku mātua tūpuna. That Palmerston North is the place of the burial hole where my parents and grandparents lie. That's Palmerston North, that's my home, that's where my people are, that's where my precious bones lie. Am I connecting, or is this sort of too sort of airy-fairy? Yes.
And the meeting house that they meet in, which obviously we tend to confuse church, we use the same word for the two things, church and church.
Yes.
Did you, and as far as I know, Chapel Hill doesn't have a separate name for the meeting house.
It doesn't.
Did you ever have one in your heart? Because we're this year we celebrate 20 years of this building being erected, and we're going to do something about that. It seems fitting to me. But I've not discussed this with the elders.
Yeah. I think it would. I had no idea. It was far from my thought at the time. I was still in the mode where my Maori side and my Pākehā side were kept completely separate. Right. But when it came to Northgate, we did some different things. So when we brought in our new pastor, associate, whatever you call him, associate pastor, a crowd brought him down from Old Ewa Baptist, and we poor-fitted him. We welcomed him. And the amazing thing was that a young woman in our congregation of Maori descent, who didn't speak any Maori, had never tried to learn it, she volunteered to do the karanga, the call, this traditional cry of welcome. The first person to speak when people go onto a marae is a woman. So Tania, she learned enough Maori to do this, and she did it beautifully. Something moved in her, right? So, and when we named the building, that was a much less dramatic, but there was that same feeling. This has given our building a kind of identity. So some people, when Maori come, they say, e te whare e tūnui, the house here, tēnā koe, because it has personality. Good idea for North, for Chapel Hill. Any questions? This is not a sermon, it's a lecture.
I think it's a statement, really. I would say that pepeha is also a biblical concept as well, because of the genealogies we have in Chronicles and Genesis. So it's not alien to biblical thought that Jesus Christ had a pepeha in the beginning of Luke and Matthew.
Do you understand what we're talking about now? There are two different things. There's pepeha, which give a hint as to where you belong. There's whakapapa, which is genealogy, which is reciting as the Lord could do, the entire line from way back. Now, I've heard people on the marae go back through 40 layers of their whakapapa, 40 generations, and remembering them, where they came from, who they were, and how they connected to living people. So there's this two aspects of it. Pepeha hints at the whakapapa, but doesn't usually go into it.
do.
Someone.
I've got a question. When you introduce yourself, do you introduce yourself where you live now, which is the Waikato, or where I was born, which is Pairoa? Which one do you use?
I would use the one that's dearest to you. So I don't use a Waikato one. I use the Palmerston North one. That's where I really belong. And that is, in fact, where my loved ones are awaiting the resurrection. All right, that's done my bit. Great talking to you. As you may have guessed, I'm not shy for very long with Chapel Hill. Kanui te mihi ki a koutou. Greetings to you all. Brother.
I was shocked by the way Christians were hanging on to their Maori heritage, because about 60% of my church was Maori, Lakeside, in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And because I suppose it got in the back of my mind, you're born again. There's a lot of things that my parents I wouldn't like to be carrying with me today.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say I'm not grateful for them being parents, but they couldn't get on with me. I mean, they find me utterly foreign, and I'm as English as they are, but I mean, they find me utterly foreign.
Mm.
And obviously in 21st century, it's, my dad was incredibly patriotic, for instance. Well, that's almost...
So your question was...
Unacceptable.
Really, the question whether this has a place in the modern world, modern community?
No, whether it had a place in the spiritual world that we're in. We're born of God, aren't we?
We're born of God, but we're also born into real families that we're. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, therefore,
yeah.
In what sense am I focusing on my ties on earth?
Yeah, well, for me, I take seriously the opportunity to make a statement that I am a Christian. And that opens up another set of questions, another set of relationships. But if this is a far more effective way of letting people know you're a Christian than working awkwardly around the topic to bring it up. All right, kua pou.
Blessing, and since you taught me this.